You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Tua Blake Ward. I do have to apologize for the shows that did not occur on Friday or yesterday. If you cannot tell, I'm fighting a cold, and I'm actually fairly beat up, so I gotta apologize for that. Sometimes health just takes it from you. I feel decent, but just as you can tell, still really nasal, and I guess that's not that different from the usual sound, but yeah, not the greatest week and weekend I've had, but I appreciate all of your patience. It's been great being able to take your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. Now, usually we do this on Mondays, but due to what's been going on with me, I'm a little under the weather, so we're moving it to this Tuesday. So happy Tuesday to you. You want to be a part of the show, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. And like we said, you want to be a part of the show, follow us on Twitter. Send us a tweet. I sent out a tweet on Sunday night about 9 p.m. Pacific time saying, hey, send me in and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. The best ones make the show in the morning. So obviously that would have been yesterday morning, but like I said, we've moved it to Tuesday. Also, we have noted that if you want to email your questions as well, you can send that to TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. And if you have a private Twitter account, chances are I will not be able to read your comment. Sometimes you either got to open that up or send an email. So let's get to your questions, though. We're going to start with prospects of miscellaneous as we have in the past. Now, this first question here comes from Garrett Toon, Toonski09. What are your thoughts on Hector Yan? Been watching his numbers all season and have been extremely impressed. Love the show, man. Hey, thanks, Garrett, for loving the show. Hector Yan, yeah, Angels prospect, lefty down in low A Burlington, doing some really great things. My thoughts on him are he's got a lot of velocity for a lefty. He throws about 95, 96. He'll sit about 93, 94 as a starter, but he's jumped into the mid to high 90s. I've heard he's touched 97 at times. Kind of throws from a funky angle, so it really works out well for him. And that's he gets a lot of swings and misses on his fastball, even though there's not a lot of movement on it. It's a little flat. Has a pretty decent breaking ball. Thing I'm most impressed with is he's 20 years old in low A Burlington. He had never pitched over 30 innings in his professional career until this year. He's over 100 innings this year. Has a 3.58 ERA. He's striking out 12.4 per 9 innings. Has a strikeout percentage over 30%, which is outrageously good. I'm a big fan of Hector Yan. I don't think he's going to be a starter long term, even though I just said he went 103 innings this year and still probably has another start in his belt. But I'm a big fan of his. My prospect rankings have come out. I believe I have him right around the 15 to 20 mark, the late teens when it comes to rankings, but very special prospect. So great question there, Garrett. Appreciate that. Always good to talk prospects with you. Next question here comes from JD Apsley. Do you think sending Matt Theis back to AAA would help him with his approach at the plate, or is this who he is at this point? Well, JD, it would help. The only problem is AAA Salt Lake has less than a week left remaining in their season. They only have about six games remaining for this year. I think there is more in Matt Theis. You're looking at he has a 274 on base percentage, a 412 slugging. I think the slugging is the most surprising thing. He's striking out a lot more than he should be, though. I mean, it's a very small sample. You're talking about 113 plate appearances at the major league level. It's a very, very small sample here. But he is walking. I think his approach is fine. I think you're going to see some positive notes in his strikeout totals. They're going to drop. The most interesting thing I've found yet, though, is Fabian Ardiaga of The Athletic was telling me about it. He said, go look at his home road splits. Now, it's near identical plate appearances, everything like this, near identical. Remarkably, he has a 986 OPS at home and a 363 OPS on the road. He has a 343 on base percentage at home, 363 OPS on the road. Part of it is the BABIP, and if you believe in batting average on balls in play, he has a 156 batting average on balls in play. He's struck out right around the same mark. He's walked right around the same mark on the road as he has at home. Just he can't find those gaps, and something about him at Angel Stadium is really remarkable. So they're not going to send him to AAA because there's just not a lot of time left in the season for him to do that. He'd only get 20 or so plate appearances, so it wouldn't make sense right now. But great question. I mean, it makes sense for going into next year. Obviously, spring training, they're going to focus on a few things over the offseason. And now they can also tell him exactly what they want him working on at the major league level and trying to understand what is going to make him more successful. So great question there, JD. And I'm starting to – it's catching up with me real early today. Sorry, guys. Next question here from Chad Dotson at Chad Dotson 6. Joe Adell had a nice 2-home run game recently, but do you have any update on how he's doing in AAA Salt Lake? Otherwise, enjoy the podcast. So I just had a conversation with someone. I'm going to pull up Joe Adell's stats for AAA Salt Lake right now at the moment. But I just had a conversation the other day from someone that saw Joe Adell, and it was a scout, a professional scout, and they said, you know what, this kid's going to be a star. He still has the star power, everything like this. Now, he's got a little over 100 plate appearances with AAA Salt Lake right now. He is slashing 242, 301 on base percentage, 326 slugging percentage. That does not include the game where he hit 2 home runs. That game was rained out, so the statistics from that game were wiped from the record. So you actually, his slash line would be much better, especially the slugging, especially with those 2 home runs. It says he has no home runs this year, but as you noted, he had 2 home runs in one game. But no, when it comes to the stats, I know that some of you are concerned in a sense that he's not putting up, you know, these absurd, outrageous numbers that he was everywhere else he went. But still, a very exciting prospect. And this scout that I talked to still believes that this guy is a superstar. So don't let 100 plate appearances at Salt Lake or AAA really dictate an opinion for you. That's not a fair thing to put on the kid. So. Next question here from Ryan Mancuso, and it actually is 2 questions back-to-back. So we'll do his first one here. He says, I'm a big fan of the show. Thank you, Ryan. What effect does going up and down from the minors have on the confidence of a player, Suarez, Berea, Walsh, etc.? Walsh had another big game at the plate, and I know the numbers are inflated, but he seems to deserve a shot. So to start it off, every player is different. There's a great piece, actually multiple pieces, about Jaime Berea who opened up to the media about how he felt about this season. He was told that he was going to be in the rotation. He was going to be on the opening day roster. None of those things happened. I'm sorry about that. Neither of those things happened, and he had to fight his way through, and he opened up on how he felt like he needed to prove himself and show this organization a bit more of what he can do, which is pretty remarkable that he opened up about that, and I think it's positive, not just for him, but for the organization to see where this player is mentally. As long as the player is told what the thing they have to go work on is, it's okay. You know, some guys, it's all between the ears when it comes to this. It's all mental. So some guys are better at this, some guys aren't. I've seen some guys leave the Angels clubhouse that were sent to AAA, one saying, you know, I get it, I need to perform better, I need to work on certain things, and another that was throwing a little fit, like, you know, a little baby throws a fit. He felt that way, and sometimes that's how guys are. You did note Jared Walsh. He is not one of those guys I'm talking about at all. But yeah, he deserves a shot. The numbers are inflated, but he definitely deserves a shot. And it's very obvious he's going to come up in September and help this Major League club. I know that there's not a whole lot remaining for the Major League club, but he'll be up. Another one here from Ryan. Man, Ryan, you owe us, bud. That's 3 questions for you. He says, why would the Angels promote Jordan Adams with a week left in the minor league season? So Jordan Adams went from low A Burlington to high A Inland Empire. He's played three games, something like that already for him. The reason why they do this is to expose him to a more challenging level. Now, Jordan Adams, he's 19 years old, played his first full season of pro ball. Something, you know, they gave him a week of this very serious challenge. Maybe they're going to have him come and work out at Angel Stadium a little bit just to, you know, work with some coaches because he is a first round, you know, he was a first round pick. So there's a lot invested in him already, but being able for him to be able to see this live, be able to use that in-game knowledge, even for a week, is going to be valuable. And also, it exposes him without the risk of putting him in a bad spot mentally, because if he fails for this week, it's only 1 week, and they can tell him, you know, it happens. It's 1 week. He had a bad week, instead of saying you were overmatched. And it could be either. So far, so good for Jordan Adams. To my knowledge, he's done well so far. He's looked good from what I've been told. But at the same time, you know, it's not like this is a very great move. I think they should do it with a lot of their guys if they can afford to. But good for Jordan Adams. It's great for Jordan Adams to see a little bit of Cal League action, even if it's only 20 plate appearances, 30 plate appearances. I think it's great for him. So great move there for the Angels. Little non-Angels related prospect question. This is from Dave Lack. Now, Dave emailed me. Like I said, you want to send me questions via email, that's perfectly fine. Send them to TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. But Dave says, can you please comment on how Huntington Beach grads Nick Prado and Hagen Danner are progressing in the minor leagues? Enjoy the podcast. Best, Dave Lack. Thank you, Dave. Now, I looked this up when you asked, Dave, and things have changed. As for Hagen Danner, things have not gone great. Obviously, he was a two-way player. Both Nick Prado and Hagen Danner were two-way players. But Hagen Danner had a little bit more upside when it came to the mound than Nick did. This year in low A as a catcher, he has a 79 weighted runs created plus. That's 21% worse than league average offensively. He's striking out over 30% of the time. He does have 12 home runs. Now, the thing with Hagen Danner as a catcher is I think they're less worried about the bat as much as they are with the defense. And the defense is still positive. I talked to someone. Now, I am very tied in with the Royals prospects for whatever reason you want to believe in. Blue Jays prospects as well as the Royals, which we'll talk about Nick Prado. But I did talk to someone about Hagen Danner, and it's very positive still. Now, 12 home runs, they still want to see more out of the bat. He's pulling the ball quite a bit, and it's not really all that positive results because of the way that we see the game now. But Nick Hagen Danner, I keep getting mixed up there. There's some work to do offensively, but still a little bit of a development project as opposed to a surefire thing. As for Nick Prado, it's very similar. Striking out over 30% of the time, he has shown a little bit of power, 9 home runs, but just hasn't been able to hit all that well. 73 weighted runs created plus, so he's actually 27% worse than league average. Last year, he was fantastic in low A. He had 14 home runs, had a OPS above 7 or 8 there, 124 weighted runs created plus. Another thing, you know, he's pulling the ball a lot. sorry. But for a guy that's supposed to be a pure hitter, which he should be, you know, he should be, I think it's just taking time for him to connect. You know, he's 20 years old in high A. That's a level that's very challenging. He's a first base only kind of guy, but it's going to be interesting to see how things go for these guys. So thanks for asking questions about guys that aren't Angels. It's always nice to talk about Angels, but at the same time, it's really nice to talk about other prospects on other teams that I'm following that I saw as prep players. You mentioned they're Huntington Beach grads. I saw them both down there in high school, and very exciting young men. I thought they were beyond talented, and I can't wait to see them in the majors someday. Got a few non-baseball-related questions. This one from Vincent Page 74. How many bases would Zlatan Ibrahimovic steal if given the green light and a 350 on-base percentage? Vincent, you ought to know better, man. Zlatan only hits dingers. Come on.
Lions, they don't compare themselves with humans.
Los Angeles, welcome to Zlatan.
Really, Vincent, you know that Zlatan only hits dingers.
Welcome to Zlatan.
That guy's got so much swagger. Another soccer question coming in from Jeffrey Tan at HTennis98. Odds of LAFC winning the MLS Cup? Well, I guess I'm just going to keep going to Zlatan highlights, aren't I?
Lions, they don't compare themselves with humans.
Zlatan is so stinking cool. The guy's got so much swagger. Yeah, I think LAFC actually wins the MLS Cup. So great question there. Thanks. Man, we're just going to keep going with the odd ones, aren't we? One last odd one here. First time caller, long time listener. Who you got winning the Super Bowl this year from Jared Timms at Jared _ Timms? Oh, boy. Let's just get back to the baseball questions here. From Cody Keen at Halo Fan for Life 94. Bold World Series prediction. Mine, Minnesota versus Washington. What's yours? I was talking to someone the other day. I said Minnesota and St. Louis should actually scare some people when it comes to October. So I'll go with Minnesota and St. Louis. I think St. Louis actually is a really big dark horse for the World Series this year. So. Next one comes from Craig V at Craig _V. How come catchers aren't better hitters? Well, all the pitches they'd see, you'd think their pitch recognition as hitters would be exceptional, yet it isn't. So you figure that catchers take the longest to develop. You see a lot of catchers that are 27, 28, even 30 years old make their major league debut. When it comes to catchers, what you really need to be worried about is defense. And you don't worry about the bat all that much. So development on the bat, the focus just isn't really there. It's only plus if a catcher can hit just a little bit. You will notice, though, with a lot of catchers, they will have a high walk percentage or they'll see more pitches per at bat than the regular hitter. That has a lot to do with pitch recognition. Now, this isn't every case, but just on a fairly regular scenario, you know, like we say, you know, catchers, the primary use of a catcher is defense. We're going to touch on that in the second segment with another question about Max Stassi. So if they hit, it's only a positive. Something, you know, you talk about a catcher only hitting this amount. But look at their on-base percentage, especially in accordance to their batting average. And I think this is where you're going to see the difference here, Craig, is batting average is a different item. You want to see them get on base, and a lot of catchers do that very regularly. So great question. One last one before we head to break here from Trout for Prez 2024 at Halo Nation 335. What is the precise difference between command and control? Now, with a pitcher, this is very pitcher-specific, and it's very simple. So just tune into this. Control is ability to throw strikes or find the strike zone. Command is ability to locate pitches. So you hear about command in and out of the zone. Some guys will throw a slider out of the zone, and they do that on purpose. That is commanding outside of the zone. That will take away from your control because you're not throwing strikes, but that slider away, maybe you're swinging miss pitch. You know, you hear a lot about guys that have good command. It's just because they throw a lot of strikes. They don't walk a lot of guys. That's not true. That is good control. That is good ability to find the strike zone. Command and control are very different aspects, very different animals in their own right. They obviously go hand in hand, but it's very important to know that the two are different. So great question. I really appreciate that, Halo Nation. It's something that I think is very important for people to learn about and know when it comes to baseball and these terms. We got to head to a short break. Before we do that, let's talk about Postmates. Now, Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service, all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Lockdown listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code LOCKEDON. Be right back with more Lockdown Angels right after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. A little mighty Boss Tones bringing us back in. We are doing our Sunday night Twitter question answer. Obviously, we're a day late because of, you can probably hear it at this point. My voice is starting to wear on me. There's a flu going around where I live, and I got it. So we're going to take your questions. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, by the way. And we're going to take your questions about the Angels here in the second segment. And let's see if we can start off with just the free agent stuff. Let's start off right there, right here and now. This one from Cody Keen at Halo Fan for Life 94. He asked one in the first segment. Angels offseason needs: 1, 2 starting pitchers. Gerrit Cole is the main target. 2, a left-handed relief pitcher. 3, a catcher. Agree or disagree? 1 through 3 is going to be pitching. And yes, starting pitching is the priority number one. A left-handed reliever, I don't think it necessarily means that a left-handed reliever is your priority. I think just a reliever. I think you need some help with the relief core. And yeah, the catcher is going to be your third most important thing. So I think that's right on the nail there. So great job knocking that one. So next free agent question here. Obviously, we need this comes from Chris Strain at Crociant. And I know I'm saying that way wrong, but it says, so obvious we need Gerrit Cole desperate tweet here. That's I know that you're a regular listener and regular question asker, so I'm going to tease you. That's not a proper sentence by any means. Says, if we sign him, Gerrit Cole, to his 30 AAV or whatever he needs, who follows him to the Angels' sights? Wheeler, Ryu, who seems like the second most likely suitor following the hypothetical that he signs in Los Angeles? That was a very wordy question. So if Gerrit Cole signs in with the Angels, I don't think it's going to be $30 million a year. I think you're looking more at around $25 million. You think that Bryce Harper signed it? We had Jeff Fletcher on the show last week, and he was saying, you know, Manny Machado got $30 million a year, Bryce Harper got $25 million a year, and they're everyday players. Is Gerrit Cole really going to get $30 million a year? There's a chance of it, but the Angels only have, they're going to have about $45 million going into this winter, roughly. That's a rough estimate. That said, you know, you spend $30 million on Gerrit Cole, or yearly, you're going to be spending, you know, close to $200 million there, or $150 million for a handful of years. You know, what's that? So if he signs a six-year deal at $30 million a year, that's $180 million. That's a large amount of money that you already invested in certain players. As for secondary options, I think we've talked about this on the show before. Guys like Jake Odorizzi, Zach Wheeler, Kyle Gibson, I think those are going to be the secondary guys. I hope that answered your question. Maybe the medicine's not kicking in and I'm just not reading it right, but thanks for always listening. I know you ask a lot of good questions. This one, I think, just threw me for a little bit of a loop, so sorry about that. Next question here comes from Brandon at MLB and UFC fan. Do you think the Angels will let Andrelton Simmons walk with all the infield talent they have in the minors? No. Andrelton Simmons is a very surefire thing. The guys in the minors are not. That said, Andrelton Simmons will be a free agent at the end of next season, and that's a bridge the Angels are going to have to cross then. Is Luis Ranjifo going to be a shortstop for the Angels? Is David Fletcher going to be a shortstop for the Angels? We'll touch on that later. Are guys like Will Wilson going to come up and be a part of the future? It seems that the Angels and Andrelton Simmons both are very interested in staying together mutually, staying together, having a future together. So I don't know if they're going to let him walk. I don't know if that's the right term, but I do think that they are going to look to having him be a part of the future. Just maybe not one of those 6-7 year deals, but maybe instead a 3-year contract if Andrelton is open to that, of course. So, great question there. Appreciate that, Brandon. Next question here, and I want to touch on this one. This one's very important because I don't know the answer, but it is a very important question. It says, this is from at section 965. The Angels moved one of their ads from the center of the wall, center field wall, to the side, thinking that the ad distracted batters when they batted against a lefty. Has there been any improvement in batting average since then? I do not know the answer to this. And I'm going to look it up. I just, between being in bed for the entire weekend and still trying to fight this off, I haven't had time to. But I think this is a really interesting question. And I think it's one of the better ones we've had just because of how obscure it is. But yes, the Angels had I believe someone said that it was a Pechanga sign, which is, if you're unfamiliar with what that is, Pechanga is a hotel, Indian gambling casino. Casino, gosh. It's a gambling casino out here for the Pechanga tribe, the Indian tribe. And I know that they moved it from the center field region because they felt that it was distracting to their left-handed hitters as well as, of course, other players, other teams' players. But I am going to look into this. So stick with me, Section 965. I'm going to look into this, and I appreciate the question. I think it's a very, very interesting question. So I really like this. Next question here comes from Jeff Vandever, JV in the LBC. What's up, man? Do you think the Angels will play Tommy La Stella full-time when he comes back or play some of the younger guys more? I think with where the Angels are in the season, they're not playing for a lot. They're kind of playing for 500 at the moment. I don't know if playing Tommy, you know, you have the luxury of having Tommy La Stella next year, so you don't really want to risk putting him out there to re-injure himself. I think it'd be really smart. And I think it'd just be smart to play him, you know, every other day or something along those lines. If the Angels somehow go into Tampa Bay Rays and Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees, all that junk from, what was that, 2010, 2009, something like that, when just who was it that came back from like 13 games back in September? If the Angels pull some miracle, then sure, play Tommy La Stella every day. But outside of that, I don't think they have any reason to play Tommy every single day. Great question, though. So appreciate that, JV and the LBC. Yeah, yeah. I love that. That's such a great Twitter handle. More Tommy La Stella here. Assuming Tommy La Stella's third-year arbitration is picked up and Cozart comes back healthy, how does the 2020 infield shape up? So I'm going to write this out as I'm doing this. At first base, you're going to have Albert Pujols and likely some form of, if Justin Bour is retained, maybe Matt Theis is over there. Maybe you go out and get a lefty platoon first baseman, similar to Justin Bour, but a little different. At second base, you're going to have David Fletcher, most likely. Shortstop is going to be Simmons. And at third base, you're going to be mixing time between Renjifo. Oh, you know what? You're going to be mixing time between Renjifo and Fletcher, and you're going to have Tommy La Stella at second base. So that would make, I'm looking here, it would make Matt Theis kind of an odd man out, which makes sense because he can go to AAA Salt Lake. The other guy that's the odd man out is Zach Cozart. And right now, we don't know if Zach Cozart's going to play baseball next year. We also don't know what his skill level is right now. Obviously, he was an all-star just a few years ago, but he has not been that since coming back to the Angels, since coming to the Angels. So it seems like Zach Cozart, despite the contract he has, it does not seem like he is going to be part of the 2020 plans, if that's an option, unless something, you know, miraculous happens. So I think the infield, I think you're going to be looking at Pujols and some form of someone else over at first base. You're going to have Tommy La Stella and David Fletcher moving around at second base, probably platooning a little bit. You're going to have Andrelton Simmons at shortstop and Luis Renjifo and David Fletcher likely platooning over at third base as well. And of course, this is indicative of the Angels' infield not changing, the roster not changing, which there's a strong chance it could. So if the infield stays the way it is, that's the way I see it. Speaking of David Fletcher, I'm going to take this question here from Wild Bill in Saudi Arabia. Now, this was an email, and I'm curious if he's actually from Saudi Arabia, but Wild Bill says, Taylor, love the show, brother. Thanks, Wild Bill. With all the talk about future prospects, everyone inquires about Jeremiah Jackson and Will Wilson as the projected shortstops of the future. Have we completely forgotten about David Fletcher, whom is a beast and has become my favorite Angel? Jackson and Wilson make more sense at second and possibly third base. Nothing against Simba, but Fletcher has proven himself in any role, and he is a big piece of the future. My favorite Angel has always been Fred Lynn until David Fletcher showed up. So, yeah, David Fletcher has done everything to show that he is not only a major leaguer, but he should be playing nearly every day. His offense is round or slightly above league average this year. Last year it was slightly below, but his defensive capabilities, his ability to change the game in a little bit of a sense, is really remarkable. I will say this, though. It's not to the extent that Andrelton Simmons has. Now, obviously, David Fletcher has more years control than Andrelton Simmons. He is younger, but he doesn't have those defensive capabilities that Andrelton has. And David Fletcher has strong defensive value at second base and third base. So it's hard to say because there are so many guys that kind of are deserving in this lineup. Now, I think he has beat Luis Renjifo for the position of that backup infielder. And Luis Renjifo is a little bit easier because he's got a bit of speed. He's a switch hitter. He can play all the different positions. So Luis Renjifo fits that utility profile a lot better than David Fletcher does. David Fletcher fits a starting player. Now, the issue is if he's playing second base, it's very prototypical. The power is not there, but he's a high contact bat. You can put him near the top of the lineup or restructure the lineup backwards and put him at the back of the lineup. But at third base, you want a little bit more power. Now, as we saw with Tommy La Stella, defense is not necessarily his strong suit. It's obviously in the offense and the bat right now. So you're going to have to kind of figure a way to put that out. As for the future here, you know, we're talking about Jeremiah Jackson, Will Wilson. You're right. There is a long gap between David Fletcher and both of these players. Jeremiah Jackson is 2-3 years away. Will Wilson is a year or two. You know, he's over a year away. They have to develop properly. And over time, you're going to find out who the better player is. And that's not a knock on David Fletcher. But if Jeremiah Jackson is a better player, if Will Wilson is a better player, they're not going to play favorites. They're going to play best player available. And sadly, that may be a knock on David Fletcher. But it's also, you know, David Fletcher is a very good baseball player. And he's an exciting baseball player. Local talent out here from Loyola Marymount. Comes from the Anaheim region area. I think that David Fletcher has really established himself with the Angels. I think he is the ideal Angels player. And when I think of Angels players and everything like this, David Fletcher is the kind of guy I think of, especially growing up watching David Eckstein and Darren Erstad. I think David Fletcher is going to be one of those guys if he can stay healthy and if he can perform to the level he has. And not that Darren Erstad or David Eckstein are Hall of Famers, but they are Angels greats in a sense. And I think David Fletcher has a chance to be an Angels great. But I don't think he's knocking Andrelton Simmons off shortstop by any means. But thank you for that question, Wild Bill. And I hope that all is well in Saudi Arabia, if that's where you're at. And thanks for the email. Next question comes in from Craig V at Craig_V. Are there any concerns about Ohtani's hitting this season? He seems to be bailing out more and more. No. I mean, everyone goes through sophomore slumps, and Shohei Ohtani isn't putting up the numbers he did last year, which were outrageous, but he still has a 129 weighted runs created plus. He has an OPS of, let me see here, his OPS is 868, so nearly 9 OPS. No, I don't think there's any concern at all about Shohei Ohtani right now. He's actually, I think, looking just at the peripherals here, he's striking out much less than he did last year. He's doing really well against lefties this year. I don't think there's a whole lot of concern about Shohei Ohtani's bat. If that's disagreeing with your comments, but no, there's not really any concerns, but not for me at least. Next question here comes from Nate Aoki at Nate Aoki. Any talks of extending Epler? Not that I know of, and I'm just going to say this just as a standardized comment. These things are played pretty close to the chest because these are, you know, kind of ownership decisions. And when ownership makes the decision, they kind of want to keep it under wraps. So I don't know if we're going to hear about it until it's announced. Sometimes, you know, this information comes out. Sometimes it does come out, but no, we're likely not going to hear anything about that until it happens. I do expect the Angels to extend Billy Epler before his contract is up. I think he's done a great job with the Angels, but at the same time, that's one man's opinion. But it does seem that Artie Moreno and the Angels do really like Billy Epler for obvious reasons. So I don't have a set answer for you, but I think that we're going to be seeing something soon. So next one comes from Halos Network at Halos_network. Thoughts on Miguel Del Pozo? I know he has big strikeout stuff. Do the Angels have their lefty reliever going into next year? Yeah, he's an option. I mean, he throws, what, 95, 96? Has a big, pretty good breaking ball. I don't know if he's going to be like a Ty Buttrey kind of guy where he comes in and suddenly changes the face of the bullpen. But yeah, maybe he gives you a little bit of lefty option. he has five more, you know, he has options remaining for two more years, so you can move him up and down if you need to. So just a controllable arm that you have there. Whether or not he is the answer, I don't know. It's just very soon, you know. I don't know a whole lot about him the same way that I'm sure a lot of you don't. He came from the International League, which is not a league that I see a lot. But it'll be interesting to see. I think that it was a good pickup. Anytime you can get a lefty that throws that hard, I think it's a positive. So next question here comes from Larry Leach at LLeach4. Can you explain the Max Stassi move? His batting average is low, his defense hasn't been impressive, and the ERA of the pitchers has been terrible with him calling the games. Is it a strategic move to get Gerrit Cole? So first things first, reading this, don't look at catcher ERA. Never look at catcher ERA. It's a wasted statistic. It really is. His batting average is low, but his defense, you may be going off the eye test as opposed to the actual numbers. His defense has been much far, you know, a lot further superior than what Jonathan Lucroy or Kevin Smith or Dustin Garneau had. Saying that, also, Max Stassi is under control until 2023, and the cost that it took to get him was very minimal. So you have a catcher that's under control for three more years going into arbitration. I think that it's a great move to pick up a catcher, just to pick up a catcher. I don't think it has anything to – it's in a bit of reality. The Angels just need catching, and they got catching for 3 years out of Max Stassi, this Max Stassi move. So I think that there's a lot of – I think there's too much focus on this trade for the current standard. I think they're looking, you know, if you're looking at 2019, you don't need to be. It's not a 2019 move. It was a 2020, 2021, 2022 move. So that's where I think this Max Stassi move is making sense. Yeah, he's not going to hit all that well, but you don't need that in the catcher, as we explained in the first segment. Last question here comes from Halos Network, at Halos_network. Personally, I've been a big fan of the Angels coaching staff this year. Perhaps I'm being a bit too optimistic. I liked Osmus, White, Reed, Gallego, and Feliciano. Seems to be an unpopular opinion. Thoughts on the coaching staff? So this is my personal opinion, and I've been very open that I believe that Brad Osmus has made some poor in-game decisions, but I can nitpick that because when you watch every game, you're seeing it live. You can nitpick everything, especially when it goes wrong. One thing that I don't like, and this is just me, this isn't anyone else, I want to see pitchers go through the order in a third time, and I know the statistics don't support it, and I'm a statistics guy, and I still want to see them go through the order a third time. I want to see them work deeper into games, and that's not necessarily an Osmus move. That's an Angels move. So I'm going to be a little bit more critical of Brad Osmus because he is he's the main guy. He's the number one guy. At the same time, I think that with what he's done with this team, structuring the opener, structuring some things, a lot of it comes from the front office. But at the same time, I think Brad has done a great job of trying to figure this team out when you're losing all kinds of value. You don't have the starting pitchers that you need. You lose some of your star players, and you have to maneuver guys. I think that we saw quite a bit with like Dustin Garneau and Kevin Smith, what he's been able to do with them as a former Gold Glove catcher and, you know, help develop them. So I think he's great when it comes to development, but we're not seeing it come to fruition just yet. I also think that Jeremy Reed, I think, is going to be great when it comes to the minor leagues, but I think Sean Wooten has been a much more valuable piece. Doug White, I don't think we're seeing the benefits just yet of what Doug White has brought to the Angels. I think we're still sitting there waiting to see. There was an article, a great article from, it was either Fabian Ardai or Jeff Fletcher, and I don't know which one it was, but it was about Cam Bedrosian and how Doug White literally just said, hey, throw your slider from 90 feet when you're practicing instead of 60 feet. And that has changed his slider. And you look at Cam Bedrosian this year compared to last year, as very successful season. Mike Gallego, I've actually been critical of Mike Gallego. I want to see him be more aggressive, but like I said, that's my opinion, not anyone else's. And that could be something that the Angels are telling him, you know, we're going to work base to base. We're not going to work multiple bases at a time. And I loved when the Angels played under Socha, all these moving pieces, and I kind of miss that. Mike Socha obviously had – I liked Mike Socha a lot, mostly because I liked him as a person, I think. But at the same time, I thought he was a good – at a time, he was a great manager, turned into a good manager, turned into an average manager. But I loved the ability to move pieces. I love the way that he did manage, even if there were some questions about how the lineup was structured. But yeah, those are my opinions on the coaching staff. And I think they've done a fairly reasonably good job. There's obviously a lot of room for growth, but at the same time, that goes for every team. So thank you everyone for tuning in today. Thank you for your questions. I appreciate it. And also thank you for your patience with bearing with me. This has been a 40 plus minute episode and I'm worn out. I'm beat. So thank you for bearing with me. I'm going to try really hard. I mean, no one wants to be sick, and you always try to get better. But if I'm not better, no promises for a show on Wednesday. So thank you for just dealing with me and having patience with me. Reminder to follow us on Twitter. You want to be a part of the show next week on our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. Watch for that tweet at 9 p.m. Pacific time. They'll say, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them through midnight. Best ones make the show on Monday morning. To do that, follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to follow us at Lockdown Angels while you're doing that. Don't forget to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Lockdown Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, same time, same place. For Lockdown Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow. Closing time. Time for you to go out to the places you want.